We ask, gracious Father, to bless us with your presence and to guide our thoughts and actions this day. And we give thanks and pray for our former doorman, Ken Homan, and his family at his death this past Thursday. Strengthen them in patience, comfort them with the memory of your goodness, and grant them your peace. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown, Chappelle Nadal, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Emery, Holzman, Justice, Kevney, Kehoe, Kraus, Lauger, Lamping, Lavoda, Libla, Munslinger, Nasheed, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Richard, Romine, Roop, Sater, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Sifton, Sylvie, Wallingford, Walsh, Wasson.
The quorum is present. The Missouri Senate is now in session. Read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, second regular session, ninth day, Thursday, January 23rd, 2014.
President.
Senator from Newton.
Mr. President, I move that further reading of the journal be dispensed with, the same be approved as open and fully read.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye. Aye. Those of the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Reading is dispensed with. Introduction of guests. Senator from the 14th.
I have some special guests today. I have two new individuals who are working for me. First is Eric Miracle. If you recall, 2 years ago, he worked as an intern for the Democratic Caucus. And also, my newest intern, which is Stephen Clark. And Stephen is special for a couple of reasons. One, he's one of my neighbors back at home in University City. And two, he is actually one of the people who relocated after Katrina in New Orleans and found his new home in my district and on the street right next to mine. So if the body would please welcome my two guests.
Let's welcome the guests of the senator from the 14th to the Missouri Senate. Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a very special guest. We're all familiar with the song, Me and My Shadow. I've had a shadow today, and he's from Holden, a recent graduate at the University of Missouri, Andrew Wakeman, and he has spent some time here and in the House. Andrew Wakeman.
Let's welcome the guests of the Senator from Johnson to the Missouri Senate. The chair has an introduction. I'm proud to introduce my intern this semester, or one of my interns, who is a senior at the University of Missouri Columbia. Her name is Stephanie Grillo. She's from St. Louis. She's on my right and your left. Stephanie, if you'll stand up. You are standing? Okay. She expects to graduate in May with a bachelor's degree in business marketing, and I'm proud to introduce Stephanie to the Missouri Senate. Introductions.
Mr. President.
Senator from the 9th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to introduce two very special guests, please. Thank you. Mr. President, to my right and to your left, I have two very special guests from Kansas City. I have Reverend John Modest Miles and Reverend Kenneth Ray. Both of them are very active in our community at home, and they're doing very good work there, and I would love for the body to make them feel welcome today.
Let's welcome the guests of the Senator from the 9th to the Missouri Senate. Introductions, petitions, memorials, remonstrances, resolutions. Senator from Polk.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a resolution.
Send your resolution forward. Care to explain, Senator?
I do, Mr. President. And somewhat a lengthy explanation I might add to this, and it has to do with the propane situations that's happened in this state over the last week or 10 days. What the resolution calls for is it calls for the Department of Justice to do an investigation into what I believe the possibility of illegal activities within the propane industry to the state of Missouri is what the resolution calls for. But, Mr. President, I just want to give a little history for the people in the chamber that may be not familiar with what happened over the last few days, and 10 days in particular, where I think it's a total injustice to the people of Missouri what's happened with this propane industry. And to give you an idea, first of all, I want to bring up just a little history of the days when I was sheriff of Polk County many years ago. During that time, we had one of the darkest days in our country is when a terrorist organization come to our country and, to me, committed an act of war. When they killed hundreds and hundreds of Americans, they blew up the Twin Towers, the Pentagon, plane crash, where lots of people died. And our country come together during that time like it's never come before in my lifetime. Our political groups and the United States government come together on one united cause to bring people to justice and to make somebody accountable for what they did to our country. Our citizens all got together, and we helped through donations, we helped through volunteers, we did everything we could to help people that were hurting, through prayers, through everything we possibly could do as Americans. There's one organization during that time that I don't think did anything but took the opportunity to make money over one of our tragic days, and that was the oil companies. And if you'll remember and you lived through that, the first thing that happened was oil prices went through the roof. No cost for production anymore other than the fact that it was put out of what happened, and we had lines and lines of people, and they made millions and millions of dollars off that tragic event. What I'm going to tell you today is not the same, but it is about the propane industry, and I want you to make sure you understand what happened to thousands of Missouri citizens over the last week. Actually, kind of when we went home, Thursday. I stayed late Thursday because I started getting calls, and I thought this was going to be a problem. But so you know, propane in this state, 2 weeks ago, you could have bought for $1.40, $1.50 a gallon. Saturday night in Branson, Missouri, propane was sold for $6 a gallon. People in this state cannot do that and cannot afford that. And the media blitz has come out, and let me tell you what the media has come out with. And they've been doing their part to cover what we've been saying here in Missouri. But the real talking points are coming from the people that distribute propane, the big boys, I want to say, in industry. And they're telling you this. They're telling you there's a shortage because of the exports in this country, because we're exporting lots of propane out. They're telling you because wet corn in Minnesota and the Dakotas, you're drying it through what by propane means. They're telling you that, and we've had a severe winter. I might add to you, we've only had 30 days of it, though. We still got a lot of winter to go. And all of a sudden, we got a shortage of propane in this country. You keep in mind, that's what they told us this week, why this is occurring, right? Let me give you one little quote. And this is from Bloomberg News, Ivan Taylor, who's the chief executive officer of Vital Group. Now, if you want to know who the Vital Group is, Vital Group is one of the world's largest oil trading companies, propane. His quote, propane is cheap and getting cheaper, cheaper, and cheaper. That was made on November the 22nd, 2013. The largest industry saying it's cheap. I don't believe there's a shortage of propane in this country. I don't. You all figure out what you want to believe. I don't believe it. I believe this has all been inflated by the companies themselves to make millions and millions of dollars because they chose to export to China, South Asia, Europe, and the Caribbean. Give you an example of that. U.S. Energy Information Administration. January 13th, last year, 1 year ago, we were exporting a little over 100,000 barrels a day of propane to the Far East, to Europe, and the Caribbean. 1 year ago, January 13th, over 100,000. This month, in January, we shipped close to 400,000 gallons of propane overseas. I don't have a problem with exports. I mean, I believe in exports. But what I don't believe in is some corporate gurus that don't know this is going to happen because they ship product overseas and they left us hanging is what they did. They left Missourians hanging. You know what? We're paying $6 a gallon, the people of this state are. You know what they're paying over there? $2. The best I can tell, if you could even figure that out. So either they are the dumbest corporations in the world and didn't see it coming, or they planned it all the way along to make millions and millions of dollars of that. And while I sit up here and make my speech and make my talk, there's one reality I know, because I talked to people over the weekend in many places. You're going to get into single-digit temperatures tonight. And you're going to have a wind chill below 0 degrees tonight and tomorrow night. And you're going to have people, I guarantee you, do not have propane in their tanks because they can't afford it. And let me tell you what that effect is. I talked to a mechanic in my hometown. He filled his tank up, 500-gallon tank, which normally cost him $500, a little roughly around there. Cost him $2,500. He don't have the money to make his house payment, his car payment, and his credit card bill. And when we're trying our best to climb out of this economic hole we're in, somebody like him, which is sometimes why I feel like I got sent up here, is every once in a while to help the small guy. Not everybody else out here in this arena, that we all know how that works. But every once in a while, there's somebody out there trying to work, trying to make a living, and he gets kicked back down in the hole through corporate greed. And this is what I believe this has happened in Missouri. Now, what we can do about it, I don't know. But I can tell you this much. There's a lot of people in this room. There's attorneys in this room. There's CPAs. There's people that know about stocks. There's people that know. And I'm asking for your help in any way we can do. Whatever we can do in Missouri, in the state Senate, I want to try to help these people. And I want to drain these other people. If they've committed crimes, if they've did price gouging, if they did stealing by deceit, if they did consumer fraud, I want them brought to justice. I want them brought here to Missouri and be done for justice. Last week, I contacted the governor. I contacted the attorney general. Whatever I felt I could contact to try to get people, says, hey, you need to do something here. And you know what? The only thing I really wanted out of that, knowing the reality of it is, most people, I can't really do much for them. But it is nice to assure people back home, for all of us and for our state elected officials, to say, hey, I care. I'm going to do everything within the powers I can to help you. That's all I wanted. That's all I think we should be doing. And then today, as a state senate, I will say, President Pro Tem of the Senate, and I thank him for that, put out a press release last week saying, hey, the Missouri Senate, we care what's going on here. We're trying to get something done. I know as of an hour ago, the Attorney General, I think, released a press release that he's now going to look into this, the allegations of what's behind this. But the whole time we were doing that, people are going to suffer, and I don't have the answer for it tonight. I know what's going to happen, though. I can pretty much see the writing on the wall. We're going to try to help these people, or somebody's going to try to help these people, because it's the right thing to do and maybe the political thing to do. But you know how you're going to help them? You're going to help them with their money that somebody else just took, because you're going to take taxpayer money. And we're going to say, let's put a little more money in the budget. Let's start a program. Let's do something to help these people in need right now. And you're actually taking the money that they give us, and we've let some out-of-state corporation steal money from them. That's what I believe is going on in this state. I don't know what we can do. Again, I'm asking for you guys for help. I know some of the main instigators behind this. I can tell you who the guys are that control the pipeline. Let me just explain how a pipeline works. And I want to tell you this. Because I was in the gas and oil business, so I understand a little bit, a little bit. But when you ship product down the pipeline, you ship diesel, you ship unleaded, you ship airplane fuel, and you ship propane. And every day, somebody runs them pipelines, like Enterprise, one of the main players in that, and they decide what goes down the pipeline. And they've got that allotted for years and years to come. And they can decide what goes down that pipeline and what's not. Or they can turn the spigot off, which is what I think they did. I don't think there's no shortage of propane in this country. I think they turned the spigot off to drive up cost in the state of Missouri. And you guys mark my word. In February, 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, you'll see prices go down. Because we're all having little hissy fits in the political arena. We're all putting pressure on them, and they're going to release more propane. Enterprise, one of the main people that run this pipeline, had a little meeting over the weekend while we were all gone, and says industrial groups and government officials have expressed concerns. You think when constituents are paying $6 a gallon that they're paying a dollar a quarter, all of a sudden we got some little concern? You dang right we got some concern. What do they do in return? Let me just kind of say what they have done. We have reviewed our current pipeline schedule and consulted with a number of our refined product shippers. It means the big boys. There's just a compassion in them. I can't thank them enough. Each one has expressed their support for minor schedule adjustments. Doesn't say they're going to fix it. They just say they're going to ship a little more product down there so they can keep the prices up for another week or two. And they're going to make a fortune out of this thing. And the propane supplies to reach Midwest, Northeast, portions of the United States. Alabama has already declared a state of emergency. If you don't know that, that's what they've done. They've really allowed to just go buy propane wherever you can get it, however you do it, however you get it delivered, buy it. That's what their state of emergency is. I hope we don't forget about some of these people tonight. I believe in a free market. I believe in doing things right in the business arena. I believe in let supply and demand take its place. But only when it's a fair supply and demand that works both ways, not just one. And I think this state has took it on the chin from these boys on this deal of jacking up propane prices. And I don't know how in the world we fix it. I don't know if you can bring it back here and make them pay and get it back to Missouri citizens. But I do know one thing. They've got a pipeline running across the state of Missouri. And I don't know what I can do statutory-wise, but I hope there's some smarter people in here that does. But I want them to pay a price if they cheated us. I want them to pay a price to the citizens of Missouri. And again, you just think one thing tonight. Well, we're up here in this Capitol, and this building's warm as it could be. Somebody tonight's not going to have your opportunity. And you know what people are doing in my district? Because we can't get natural gas. I mean, we don't. Not like you can go hook something else up. They're going to stores, the hardware stores. They're buying electric heaters, plugging them in their houses. So now they've got three or four electric heaters around here. One guy that I know of has got a space heater. And I'm telling you, if we fool around and let these guys get away with it, if it is true what I'm saying, and somebody's house burns tonight, if somebody dies because of this kind of behavior, then by golly, somebody needs to be brought here, and they need to be through our court system, and they need to be served justice in the state of Missouri. That's what needs to happen. So, in closing, I know that's been lengthy for me to say that, but it is a concern of mine, and I think it's a concern of the Senate. And we should take the lead in the state of Missouri. We should take the lead as the state Senate. I don't care what elected officials do statewide. I don't care what the House does. I don't care what the governor, what anybody else does. I care about what we do. And we ought to be able to assure, as the body of the Senate, Democrat and Republicans, men and women, that we're going to help people in Missouri. This is not going to go away for a week or two. And I'm just asking you, don't forget it. Remember what's going to happen to people tonight. Thank you, Mr. President.
The resolution will be printed in the journal. Oh, does any other senator desire to be heard? The senator from Boone was first on his feet.
The 28th.
Do you yield? He does.
I do.
Proceed.
Senator, I've been watching that this weekend, too, and I want to thank you for being so diligent on that. And I think the thing that people don't understand is this is an issue that predominantly affects rural Missourians, because what you've got is people in urban areas where it's cost effective to run utilities, they get their heat from electricity or from natural gas. And we have statutes on the books that say when it's 0 degrees out, you can't hold somebody over a barrel and make them pay more money or shut off their utilities. But because rural people live spread out, you can't have those utilities, so they have their own tanks. So they've got to fill them on their own. So that's why you've got this situation. But I will say, we do have tools on the books, enforceable by the Attorney General. Chapter 407, the Merchandising Practices Act. 407.020 says right off the bat, the Attorney General can take both civil and criminal action in situations like this. And I remember times when I was at the Attorney General's office, when the governor was the Attorney General, and we would have a tornado, we would have a flood, we would have some disaster in the state of Missouri, and sure enough, what you would see is you would see gas prices double at the local gas station. You would see hotel rooms at the local hotel double. And there's a provision in Chapter 407 that lets the Attorney General send out what's called a civil investigative demand, which can be both civil or criminal, which basically says to the entity that they believe is potentially price gouging or engaged in unfair practice, stop it and tell us what it is you're doing. And, you know, usually when that would happen, when you would see those gas stations double those prices and those lines would start, they'd get that civil investigative demand along with the civil penalties that potentially went along with that, which are massive, and it'd stop. So I hope that those CIDs do go out soon, and I hope we do see a response from that. The other thing, too, keep in mind, one thing this General Assembly did also in 407025 is pass a private cause of action. So if you are the individual who is wronged, you have a private cause of action for damages and attorney's fees. And I would think if these companies were at all concerned, at least not about human beings, they would be concerned about the bottom line, and that provision can have a substantial impact on it. But I would hope at a minimum we would see the Attorney General send out those civil investigative demands, because I've seen them work and in very short order, and they do get people's attention very, very quickly. So thank you very much, Senator.
Senator, I appreciate what you said. Let me just point out one other thing, too, while you brought that up. And they mentioned in one of their letters of the political pressures what they were basically saying. Keep in mind, there was nobody in Washington, D.C. over the last 10 days. These prices happened in a 10-day period, and there was nobody in Washington, D.C. There was nobody there. One senator from Iowa this week, at the end of the week, said we called for an investigation. One senator from Iowa did. And I want to clear something up, what you just to add on to what I was saying, but to go with the question you asked, I want to make sure we understand our local folks back home are not the cause of this. It's not them. Because you know what? I talked to a dealer back home. He can't buy propane. He doesn't have a credit line large enough. Because when he buys a transport of 10,000 gallon, it used to cost him a little over $10,000. It's $50,000.
Well, it's my understanding that the distributors now, when they go to the pipeline to get it, some of them are requiring cash only to buy propane.
Senator, glad you brought that up. You know what? The supplier, the guy that started this, he wants his cash up front. You're exactly right. He wants COD.
Right.
Cash on delivery. I mean, I just think this is about a scandal. I hope I'm wrong. I hope these folks over here in the media 2 weeks from now says, Parson, you didn't know a squatting thing what you was talking about. I hope they do that. But I don't think I will. I think we're going to find out they're wrong. And I hope you're right about the Attorney General. You worked over there. You know better the legal profession than I do. But I'm telling you, I think somebody at least needs to come to the state of Missouri and explain why they did what they did.
I agree. And that civil investigative demand, and I think the Attorney General probably will send those out. I hope he does. But I think it's very serious what you mentioned, is now we're going to see people trying to heat their houses with all kinds of mechanisms that weren't designed to heat a whole house, that aren't safe. And I pray to God that we don't see some tragedy as a result of people getting in a position where they can't heat their houses and they've got to make do with whatever they got.
Thank you, Senator. Does any other senator desire to be heard? The senator from Cole, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Can I inquire from the senator from Polk?
Senator from Polk, do you yield?
I do.
He does proceed.
Thank you for bringing this forward. I was out last week, as you know, but I was getting a lot of calls from, because I have my friends and neighbors, constituents are typical of what you represent as well in rural central Missouri here. And I'm glad when you were in the inquiry with the senator from Boone, you mentioned this in your press release about the local guys, because I've heard it from constituents and my local guys. And I got an email right here from one of my local guys who is now going down to Houston to truck propane up, because the local pipelines, like you say, are either requiring COD or their letter of credits aren't big enough and they can't react quick enough to the banks. I mean,
that's right.
A lot of people don't know how hard it is to get letter of credits to the banks and then get them adjusted overnight for that kind of money.
Right.
And so our small independent guys are getting hit on this. And then one more thing that's happened to these independent guys is a lot of people, I don't have, the kind of money that Senator from Phelps has, but some of these guys, they'll sign these one-year deals, as you know, where you can make a deal on how much you pay for propane in a 12-month period, no matter what. And so what's happening to our local suppliers, they made that deal with you or me or any one of our constituents.
At contracts.
At $1.40 a gallon.
Right.
And now we're calling them today, and they don't know what to do because they're paying $6, and we're under the $1.40. They're getting killed on this thing. And they're the ones taking the hit, not the big company who's causing this. So the effect is widespread. And I just want to tell you, I appreciate you bringing this out making sure that Missourians in this body understands it's not our local guys. They're the ones getting the hammer hit to them hardest.
And you've got a dealership, I think, here in your county, I'm not for sure, that contacted our office that shut down today.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't do it.
Nope.
Frankly, couldn't do it. And, you know, that's just the kind of things that, you know, we Missourians, you know, you try to do the best you can, and all of a sudden things like this happen, and that downward effect for somebody to do it. And you know the other thing, what you're saying right there, Senator, one thing I need to point out, you've been around the petroleum industry a little bit yourself. There's no cost increase in pulling anything out of the ground. So if you're trying to think it's costing more to pull it out of the ground, it's not. The production's not. And I tell you what, I don't think we're going to run out of propane. I think we've got propane. It's a matter of whoever turns that knob on, that valve on, to ship it down to us.
My farm, as you know, is in the center from Phelps District. It's in Phelps County. I told my neighbors down there to call their senator. But no, I told them I'd talk about it. But on January 9th, Senator, I got a load from our local supplier for two tanks, $1.37. And when they were saying something about how far they were behind, it was one of those cold snaps. And I said, just out of shooting the bull with these, I've been buying them from ever. How's the supply? Oh, we got plenty of propane. It's not a problem. That was January 9th.
Yeah.
So that, this you got thing a lot went of people like that.
You got a lot of people centered. You got a lot of fixed income type people. You got people that don't have as much as some of us do, some of us in this chamber. What are they going to do? See, they don't even know this yet. And I keep learning every day. They don't know it till they go to fill it up.
Oh, yeah. They're going to
find out. What if you
out.
Don't have the money tonight? Or in the morning to fill it up. What are you going to do then?
Well, you're right. Exactly what they're doing. They're getting kerosene heaters. They're getting these blast heaters that run off of diesel fuel, the unsafe things that put fumes out. I mean, they're great for construction sites and whatnot, but you don't want them in an insulated house. And they're going to cause problems to folks, and they're going to be doing it just to stay warm. So I just want to tell you, I appreciate you bringing it up. I appreciate you pointing out it wasn't the local suppliers, and I wanted to point out the double whammy it's having on them for those guys who are under these contracts.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? The senator from Phelps is on his feet. For what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Inquire the senator from Polk.
Senator from Polk, do you yield? He does. Proceed.
I want to thank you for bringing this forward. I have a brother in Rolla, Missouri, that manages a MFA exchange and have a large propane distribution system. And I think Monday of last week, propane, they were selling for $1.79 a gallon. Thursday morning, he came by, or Friday morning, the veterinary clinic, and told me that it was costing him $4.79 a gallon. And they were distributing it for that because he didn't feel they could do any markup. Now, the problem he's got is they can store 120,000 gallons of propane. They've got about 60,000 gallons stored that was prepaid at $1.37.
Right.
And they're only getting 9,500 gallons a week now, which they sell in one day. So they're trying to dip into that cheap propane to keep people from running out. They, for quite some time, said, you know, you had to buy 150, 200 gallons, or they wouldn't run a truck out because there's no delivery fee or whatever. Well, they've cut that down to 100 gallons because now that's almost $500.
Right.
And so I've heard a lot about this over the weekend because a lot of people in my area do depend on propane as their heating source, or wood, some electric, but the electric is quite expensive. The other issue that concerns me greatly is my brother's information was Friday, the only propane company that had made a commitment to try to keep the turkey buildings, the chicken buildings, the hog houses, propane was MFA propane. And if you don't think this isn't going to show up in the grocery store, I mean, we all know how high beef is now because of the shortage. You let those chickens, those turkeys, or those pigs that's on a growing floor run out of heat for about 3 hours and they're all dead. So this is going to be a huge cost. It may double the cost of chicken breast. It may double the cost of a pork chop because we don't know how long this is going to last. I think one person boiled it down to You know, we couldn't get trucks in a lot of areas up north to haul more propane down here. Texas has increased their production and pushing it our way. I agree with you. I think the propane is there. I think one thing that we can really zero in on as maybe a potential huge problem and a man-created crisis is the Keystone Pipeline. I think that would have been a big help for us to move this south out of a weather-stricken area that you couldn't get trucks in. So these guys are running day and night, and they're trying to keep people warm. It truly is a crisis in my area, and I do think it will reflect in the food cost.
Yeah. You know, the Senator, you just sat there and you just scratched your head, I guess, of how far technology has come in our country, of how people study weather patterns, and how good we are at predicting things anymore, right, that we can. And for somebody to come around and all of a sudden say they didn't see this coming, I mean, you didn't see it coming? I mean, how many of us knew, if you're a farmer, a simple farmer, that you didn't know there's a hard winter coming? I mean, we've been told and told and told that. They knew that. They knew that. And we're 30 days into winter.
Right.
30 days. We still got February, March.
Well, I'm not totally convinced that they didn't use the technology and the knowledge that we have to get us to this point. Because my information is that we're selling about 73,000 barrels of propane a day overseas. Might ought to shut that off for a while. Thank you.
You know what? You know what they need to do? Just country boy talk here for a second. They need to, not country boy, they need to hire somebody from Missouri.
Yeah.
They really do. We'll make it a jobs bill here in a minute. They need to hire somebody from Missouri to go up there to the main headquarters where their tanks are, and they need to have a guy report to CEO every day and tell him when the tanks are a little low. That's what they need, because evidently they don't know that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? The senator from Lewis is on his feet. For what reason do you rise?
I'd like to inquire of the senator from Polk.
Senator from Polk, do you yield? Senator from Polk, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. You reminded me of something there when you initially stood up, and that's the way the petroleum industry acted on 9/12. You know, the day after 9/11. Actually, I was on my way to Jefferson City that day. Yeah, I pulled into a gas station and thought I would fill up, and I looked at the price and said, that can't be right. But that's kind of what happened that day. They took advantage of a number of people. Now, if I remember right, didn't the Attorney General come to Missouri Citizens Rescue, and a lot of those companies actually had to pay back? Do you remember anything about that?
I can tell you what. Let me talk about 9. Let me go to the trivia thing about 9/11 real quick. My mom's birthday was on 9/11, so it's a bittersweet day for me on 9/11. That's what I remember. Let me tell you what happened back then. When I was sheriff, and I'll just talk about 9/11 because it's a good time to do that because of what all is going on here. And you are right, they did go after some small operators in the state of Missouri. But I was a small county sheriff in Polk County, Missouri. And I was aggravated because this was happening to people, that somebody was taking advantage of them. And by luck, and by a few connections I had back then, I got a teletype from one of the major refineries saying that there was an opportunity to increase prices over a terrorist activity that happened in this country because it could affect the refineries if they were attacked. That's what it said.
That in writing.
I got it. And you know what I did? I took it to the Attorney General, come to Jefferson City. Didn't know much then. Brought it up there because I thought I had a smoking gun.
Yeah.
I thought that people would be coming out of there just thinking I was the greatest guy that ever lived. Wyatt Earp would have been nothing. But I tell you what, I give that to them, and I give it to my congressman, like we tell people to do every day, contact
right,
them.
Right.
At the end of the day, nothing. Nothing to speak of after the big guys got away with it, and I know of nothing that anybody done. To this day, I don't.
Who sent that out? Again, who sent that out?
The company in out of Michigan is where it's out of.
A petroleum company?
Oh, yeah, supplier.
A big petroleum company.
Big supplier.
You know, that's... We've had our fights with them before. I mean, whether it's on domestic fuel, you know, renewable fuels that we actually produce here in Missouri, too. You know, Senator, another thing that just you mentioned a while ago, and the senator from Phelps County mentioned too. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know it was going to be a cold winter. I think the Farmer's Almanac even said it was going to be a cold winter. And if you looked at a persimmon seed, it also said it was going to be a cold winter. You know, they should have been laying in the supply and getting things moved this way instead of sending it overseas. I do want to thank you for your work on this issue and look forward to working together with you on it in the future.
Thank you.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from Boone.
Require the Senator from 28th.
Senator from the 28th, you yield. He does proceed.
You know, I've been sitting here thinking about this, and the Senator from the 32nd came over and I think had a pretty good idea, and that is, you know, have these distributors looked at, is there some way to potentially, I mean, you've got some people out there that have large tanks because they pre-buy and everything else. Some of them just for generators that they don't really use. Is there some way for those distributors to maybe get out in touch with their customers and be able to buy back some of that at what was the reasonable price and then make it available in redistribution to those that may be in a crisis situation?
Yeah, I think that's has merit to it. That's what I'm asking, Senator. I'm open to any suggestions from anybody.
I thought that was a pretty good idea, and I don't know if it's possible or not, but I mean, you got two issues here. One is, why is this going on and it needs to stop? But the other one is, it's going to be 0 degrees tonight across most of this state, and you're going to have massive potential for house fires, especially with children, elderly, other people that can't maneuver easily with some of that equipment. And so how can we maybe find some way to come up with a quick solution to that? I look forward to talking to you offline about that. Maybe we can talk to those distributors.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Hearing none. Thank you, Senator. The resolution will be printed in the journal. We are still on the order of business of resolutions, concurrent resolutions, introduction of bills. The senator from Franklin County was first on his feet seeking recognition. For what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have three bills. No explanation needed.
Send those bills forward. Secretary, read the first bill.
Senate Bill number 776, introduced by Senator Nieves, an act relating to required procedures for the service of warrants.
Read the second bill.
Senate Bill number 777, introduced by Senator Nieves, an act relating to sales and use tax exemptions for aircraft.
And Secretary, read the third bill.
Senate Bill number 778, introduced by Senator Nieves, an act relating to firearms.
Introduction of bills. Senator from Lewis.
A bill.
Send it forward.
No explanation needed.
Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 779, introduced by Senator Munslinger, an act relating to state employees.
Introduction of bills. The senator from the 11th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two bills to introduce.
Send them forward. Secretary, read the first bill.
Senate Bill number 780, introduced by Senator Lavota, an act relating to the authority of certain constitutional charter cities to adopt certain types of ordinances.
You care to explain that?
No explanation needed, Mr. President.
Secretary, read the second bill.
Senate Bill number 781, introduced by Senator Lavota, an act relating to boards of elections.
Care to explain that?
No explanation needed, Mr. President. Thank you.
Introduction of bills. Senator from St. Genevieve.
I have three bills, please.
Send them forward. Secretary, read the first bill.
Senate Bill number 782, introduced by Senator Romine, an act relating to certification by the American Board for Certification of Teacher Excellence.
Care to explain that, Senator?
No explanation needed, sir.
Secretary, read the second bill, please.
Senate Bill number 783, introduced by Senator Romine, an act relating to the priority of security instruments.
Care to explain that, Senator? Secretary, please read the third bill.
Senate Bill number 784, introduced by Senator Romine, an act relating to anatomical gifts.
Care to explain that? Further introduction of bills. Senator from Cole.
Mr. President, I have two bills.
Send them forward, please.
I'm sending them forward. All three copies are signed of each bill, Mr. President, and there is no explanation needed.
Thank you, Senator. Secretary, on receipt, please read the first bill.
Senate Bill number 785, introduced by Senator Kehoe, an act relating to temporary voting safety identification cards.
Secretary, read the second bill.
Senate Joint Resolution number 48, introduced by Senator Kehoe, a joint resolution relating to a temporary tax to improve the state highway system.
Further introduction of bills. The Senator from Buchanan is seeking recognition. For what reason do you rise?
To inquire of the Senator from the 10th.
Senator from the 10th, you yield to your colleague from Northwest Missouri. She does proceed.
Thank you, Senator. On Thursday, we talked about the death penalty bill that you were planning to introduce, but you haven't got it introduced today. But one of the things that we talked about was that it had been communicated to me that it was potentially a pharmacy in Oklahoma that was providing the execution drug was thought to be a subsidiary of Corizon, and I have received pretty much proof that that's not the case. It had nothing to do with Corizon, that that pharmacy is not a compounding pharmacy, and I have a signed letter from the State Board of Pharmacy of Oklahoma that says that that pharmacy that is owned by Corizon is not a compounding pharmacy and that they do not compound drugs. So I wanted to make that very clear.
Okay. Yeah, I actually had done a little more investigation after our inquiry and was told the same thing, and I think that's important to note. I still, though, as you know, carry my same concerns that the protocol that we're using is, in my opinion, in violation of state and federal law. It is, in my opinion, one that needs to be looked at closely, and it's one that I continue to try to, I'm going to try to work on this session, because I think that right now we're in a really strange situation where we may be accepting illegal drugs from another state, but I do understand that it is not the same company that you thought that it was.
Right. I just feel that it's important that if I say something that turns out not to be true, that I ought to make a correction. And so that's what I'm doing.
I appreciate that, Senator.
But, you know, I still have the same concerns that I had before. You know, to keep the identity of the pharmacy secret is just outrageous to me. I think we ought to change that law. I hope your bill does that.
That's my plan, Senator. My problem right now is that if everything that we have seen is true, we are actually, as a state of Missouri, violating the law in importing these drugs, and we need to get to the bottom of it. There needs to be some transparency, Senator.
Well, not only that, but the idea that they could pay cash, $8,000 in cash.
Is it a suitcase of cash? I mean, I'm starting to get the feeling that we are doing something completely off the books. And I don't understand what the urgency is that we are sending Missouri officials to another state with a suitcase of cash to buy illegal drugs. I'm sorry, if you and I tried to do that, we'd be in a lot of trouble.
Well, you know, pentobarbital is an ancient chemical. I mean, it's, you know, I used to buy phenobarbital when I first went into practice 30-some years ago. I used to buy, like, huge amounts of it for just a few cents, literally. And to charge $8,000 for it, for one execution, it makes me wonder, you know, what do they do, give $8,000 to somebody who drives down to Oklahoma? How do we know they didn't, like, pay $5 for it and then party hardy on the way home, you know? It's just outrageous to have the state spending cash
Under such a cloak of secrecy, there's no need for it. Just let us know what's going on. I mean, if it's out in the open, then I think we'll be able to have a conversation about what's happening. But in this cloak of secrecy, we don't know what's happening. And so we're forced to have these types of conversations.
Well, there are so many more things wrong about this that we just don't have time to talk about it now. But we will be talking about it when your bill comes up.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you for doing that. Thank you, Mr. President.
We are on introduction of bills. Senator from the 15th.
The bill.
Please send it forward.
No explanation is necessary.
Secretary, please read the bill.
Senate Bill number 786, introduced by Senator Schmidt, an act relating to intoxicating liquor manufactured for personal or family use.
Introduction of bills. Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have objection. Senate go to order of business. Reports of standing committees.
Reports of standing committees. Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a report on the rules, joint rules, and resolutions and ethics.
Please send it forward. Secretary, please read the report.
Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Joint Resolution 30, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the joint resolution do pass. Also, Mr. President, your Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics, to which was referred Senate Bill 507, begs leave to report that it has considered the same and recommends that the bill do pass. Respectfully submitted, Senator Richard, Chairman.
Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate go to order of business for announcements.
Announcements. Senator from Green.
Mr. President, your Committee on Judiciary will meet at 6 o'clock this evening in the lounge. And additionally, I'd like to announce that this evening, Mr. President, a Senate substitute on Senate Bill 507 that was just turned in will be distributed on members' desks, so that we'll have an opportunity to see that this evening if they so wish. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Senator from the 4th.
Mr. President, I have an announcement. really, just a reminder, tomorrow evening at 5 in Senate Committee Room 2, I have a criminal procedures program being conducted by Professor Litton and Professor Uphoff from the University of Missouri School of Law. I'd encourage you all to attend.
Announcements. Senator from Newton.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business come before the body, but the Senate stands adjourned under the rules.
You've heard the motion from the Senator from Newton. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Aye. Those to the contrary, no. The Senate will stand adjourned under the rules.